Okay, Brother Frank, you want to give us a scripture?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a familiar text. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Okay, let's pause there and take the bread then. And break it and take it, and we'll eat it in Jesus' name. Father, bless this bread as we take it in your name. May we give greater trust to you this year than we ever have before. May your grace and mercy and peace and challenge come to us and be accepted by us and used in your name. Pray in your precious name. Amen. Likewise,
the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup, the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat and drink this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
So let's drink this together. Brother Bill, would you pray for us this time, then?
Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you are with us. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Him shedding his blood on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
Father, will always remember that sacrifice and lay for us to live a life and show his spirit to us. Thank you for the fruit of the vine, which to us represents his blood. Be with us if we thank you this, Father, that was all that you do.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Ed. Appreciate you doing that. It's a great way to start out a new year. I'm going to take a moment to thank you, gentlemen. I know this, we're not all here that was normally here, but first I want to thank you for the gift Christmas time. And those of you who didn't know what it was a gift card to one of my favorite eating places, and it's Stony River, and so I appreciate that very much. It was awful nice of you, and I don't feel like you should have done that. I think we'll give our attention like that to Dr. Henneke. But it's always good to be with you. And the gentleman that usually sits right back over here is Sam Jones. We may not have Sam with us very many more times now. His Alzheimer's has kind of picked up on him some, and the kids are concerned about him driving, and so if they can maybe bring him in or something, but they're not sure right now. So pray for Sam. And Tom and Faye are still I'll say struggling. It is a struggle, you know. You probably remember Tom's had cancer for years. I think he's been in remission or something here now for a number of years, but Faye is. And so the two of them together just really struggle along. We keep them in prayer if you would, while we're going along. I'm going to ramble with you a little bit this morning. If you want to take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 14 and put your finger in there and hold it, and then turn back to the Gospel of St. John, chapters 20 and 21. Once I got to where my formal educational studies died down and I could get in and do things the way I wanted to and when I wanted to and think the way I wanted to without having to please some professor, I began to realize that there's more than one way to look at some of the things that you grew up with. I grew up with the Bible study book, the Bible story books. You remember those Bible story books? I grew up with them, and of course I always had these looks certain ways at them, you know. And They were wonderful. And I still enjoy the Bible stories. They're wonderful. But when I was studying along one time, I pulled together the last verse of chapter 21 and the last few verses of chapter 20 of John. Thomas has just made his proclamation that Jesus is really not only Lord, but is God. Now, can I have some consensus with us here now? We do believe, do we not, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one.
Amen.
Now hold on to that, because I may shake your tree a little bit here. Because Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen, now Toby's rendition here, I've got to translate a little bit here. Because you have seen these scars and put your hand in my side, you believe that I am God. Blessed are those who, though they have not seen, yet they believe. Then John says, not everything that Jesus said and did is written in this book. End of chapter 21. If everything that was written was recorded in a book, the world probably wouldn't be big enough to hold all the books. Then back to chapter 20. But these things are written that you might believe. Toby rendition here now. That Jesus is indeed the God-man. That he has stepped into his own creation so that you could receive life in him. And watch that in him. I've talked about this a little bit before. Well, I got to think about it. I wonder what John was thinking about here when he said, but these things are written. You ever have things like that just pop up in your mind? I wonder what he meant by these things. So I got to thinking about it. Now, if Jesus and God are one, then my Old Testament stories are written that I might believe that God is going to walk and redeem his people. Walk among us. But he's going to redeem his people. Am I all right with that? So I went back and I looked at some of these stories. I got to thinking, you know, we get sidetracked. The story of Adam and Eve. We get so bottled up about what kind of tree was that anyway? I wonder what that creature looked like before he became a snake. I wonder what those fig leaves looked like. Wonder what it was like to be in a nudist camp. And we get all bogged down in that, but if John is right, that story is telling us here is a redeeming God, that though there's a fallen man, he comes to walk with them in the garden. He comes to talk with them. He comes to redeem them. He comes to give them life. It's not going to be the same kind of life you had before, because he's going to teach us that every decision that you make has consequences. If you choose to be disobedient, you're going to have to go with the consequences. But in spite of all of our disobedience, he does not walk off and leave us. Because this was written that you could believe that God is a redeeming God. Well, I went on. I looked. You remember the story of Noah? You know, we have all these questions about. I wonder how big that boat was. Wonder where he got all that wood. Wonder how he got all them animals in there. Wonder what kind of animals he had there. Why did he take the mosquitoes in there anyway? Why was a black widow allowed to go in there? I mean, I wonder how much rain that really was. Now the big one that I get in trouble with is, I wonder how much of all the world was flooded. I wonder how much all meant to Noah and his family. And what was this bird he turned loose and flew out and came back and flew out and came back, and he finally turns one loose and it doesn't come back. I wonder where Mount Ararat is anyway. But we get so tied up in all those things that we forget. This is not a story about Noah. It's not a story about a flood. This was written that you might believe that God is saving his people. That God has a plan to redeem his people. Then I went on down there. I remembered Abraham and Isaac. And that great experience up on the mountain. And we get hung up with Abraham and Isaac and the altar and the fire and the ram, and we forget that God has called him up here. This is a story about God saying to a man, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And the Jews got so tied up with it that they got into circumcision and they missed the whole story. And we get so caught up in that ram and all this stuff about it, and we forget. This is not a story about Abraham. This is a story about God. This is a story that Jesus is coming. Is that what comes out of all that? The whole Old Testament is a forerunner. He's coming. I got to think about my friend Joseph. I love this coat of many colors. Remember all that story? You remember all those stories that go around about Joseph? But do you remember what God was doing with Joseph? God was doing the impossible. And when I came across that the morning that I was studying this, the little song came into my mind. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what no other power can do. That's what the story's about. He takes a man, and listen, he took him through some pretty tough times. Do you ever think about that little story of him and Potiphar's wife? I mean, that's quite a story. And he dashes out of there because he knows better. God is still with him in the midst of all this kind of a temptation. What does he tell us later on? There's no temptation going to take you. That's not just common to man. But my grace will be sufficient for you. And so what comes out of Joseph in his coat of many colors? Salvation. Redemption. Children of Israel grow and multiply. And then there's going to be the little Moses, the bulrush. Remember those stories, don't you? I mean, but we get caught up in all this, and we get a story about him killing people and doing this kind of thing. But the whole time, God is in his redemptive mode. He's going to lead them out of there, bring them on. Well, there's all those kinds of stories back there. And then there's these New Testament stories. We just finished this period of time when the world turns its attention to a babe in a manger. And we get hung up in so many of these things, you know. Where did those wise men come from anyway? Why did they wait 2 years? How long did it take them? Where did it come from anyway? Every Christmas nearly, except for this Christmas, I get in trouble with my wife because I have an elephant. And she puts her big, beautiful scene out there, and she's got a beautiful scene out there, and I put my elephant. When she finds him, he's got to get out of there. I said to her, but wait a minute, they probably rode elephants. I mean, if a camel group came through town, they probably been paying attention. But you think some guys come across it with an elephant, they're going to get somebody's attention. Because you know where an elephant goes, don't you? Wherever he wants to. I mean, but all this story and these shepherds and these angels and all this stuff, they're insignificant. We make such a big deal with them. But this was God stepping into his own creation and walking among his created beings to say to them, let me show you what the obedience of faith really is. Does that make sense? Now I'm ready to start my preaching part, because now I'm at Matthew 14. Jesus has just led the apostles through a great dinner. A few fish, a little bit of bread, and 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, he's going to feed them. I love that little part where he said, don't send them away, you feed them. Oh yeah, sure. We got these little fish and a little bit of bread, and we're going to feed them? Well, yeah. You remember that story. And when he gets through with them, he goes down by the seaside and by the shore of the Galilee, and he says to the apostles, guys, get in the boat and go on over there to the other side. I'll go back up here and dismiss the people, and I'll catch up with you a little later. He goes back and he dismisses the people, and he walks up in the mountain and he's praying. If you aren't careful, you get caught about what time of night was it anyway? And how could he see that boat out there? But if you aren't careful, you'll miss the story. It wasn't written for us to get complicated with these stories. Now you have to watch him. I'm a simple country boy, and so I just take things as they are. Said he looked out there and he saw this little boat, and he could see that they were really struggling because the winds had come up and the water had gotten pretty rough, and they're not making much progress. Now remember, guys, they didn't have a 150 horsepower engine back there. They're rowing. And so he decides he'll catch up with them. And he goes walking out across there. And John says it looked like he was going to walk right on by them, and it scared them to death because they thought they were seeing a ghost. And he pauses. Toby rendition again. And he said to them, oh guys, don't be afraid. I am is here. And Simon Peter says, well, if you really are I am, how about let me walk to you out there on the water? Yes. Come on, Simon. Now see, we get all caught up here, and you know what? We lose our focus of attention. What do we focus on?
Walking on water.
No. That's not where we focus our attention. He took his eyes off Jesus and went and he sunk. That's what we look at. If he just kept his eyes on Jesus, he wouldn't have gone down like that. We get hung up on his failure when we forget about God's not failing. While he's sinking, this same God that has redeemed these people all this time is out there and just reaches out and picks him up. It's not a story about Simon Peter. It's not a story about sinking in the water. It's a story about God doing the impossible. And he picked Simon Peter up, and when he got back in the boat, keep reading, now it's there. When he got back in the boat, it said they all worshipped him and acknowledged that he indeed was God. You know what it says? See, John got the story right. Now, here's where my sermon would come in. Is that same God in charge of this world's goings on today with you and me? Is your obedience to faith strong enough that you would let him do a impossible through you? Maybe it's time for us to get out of our boat. Maybe it's time for us to step out and do what others think is impossible. Not by our might, not by our power, but by his power. I love this about Simon. It doesn't seem like he questioned or had any problem. He just stepped out of the boat and started walking out across the water. Yeah. Do you and I have that kind of faith? That we would get out of our boat, and maybe he's probably not going to ask us to walk on water, but he may ask us to walk across the street and talk to a neighbor. He may ask us to walk down a hospital corridor and go into a room where somebody needs to be prayed for and have some strength from God. He may call on us to go to a prison and talk to a prisoner and tell him that your sin is not so great, but that his grace is sufficient. He may call on us to step out of our bankrolls and believe that if each of us can give a little bit, God can do a great thing with it. He can build a hospital somewhere. He can build a church out there somewhere. It breaks my heart when I think about the little bit of money I give to a mission station and I look at this church that they've got out there. You and I would not go to that church. If somebody invited us to go to that church, we might go once, but we would not go twice. But meanwhile, God's working miracles out there, and you and I are missing out on them. Why? Well, because we don't want to get out of the boat. Don't rock my boat. Some of us go through storms. I marvel at how God takes us through the storms. I've been through them. I've had some pretty tough ones. My wife and family were upset at me when I didn't act the way they thought I should act. And I said to them, you have forgotten my testimony. My testimony is God's grace is sufficient. I don't care what you throw at me, I'm going to tell you this right now. God's grace is sufficient. And all these stories, what God is trying to get you and me to see is, it's not your story. It's not my story. It's his story. I used to say to my students, if you come to my class, remember this, you spell history with two S's. You understand that? Because if you leave him out of it, you have no history. You have just a lot of thinking going on. And so I want to leave you with this today. Get out of your boat. He will not walk by you. He's still standing out there saying, get out of the boat and come on. You think it's impossible? Might be. With me, it might be. But not with him. Father, we're starting out a new year. Asking you to help us get out of the boat. Asking you to work some of those impossibles through us. Not that we would receive any credit, not that it would be our story, but that it would once again be your story of how your grace is sufficient to help us day by day. Pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Good Lord bless you. Have a great new year.